You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
Good evening. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope you guys had a great weekend. We got a special guest, John, in the house. The non-Facebook happening guy. Actually, no, he does, but he just doesn't tell everybody. Caesar, would you please read the clarity statement?
No.
It's fine. Fine. I knew there was one day it was going to be no. So nope, let today be the day. It's cool.
Enough's enough, sir. Hope Shot clarity statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. Oh, we support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family.
Was that a tough one, Caesar?
I looked away and I couldn't find my spot again when I looked back. Because I haven't memorized it, even though I've read it 5,467 times.
You know, I thought you would by now. I thought you have it on your mirror, you know, that way you could practice it in first thing in the morning, you know?
No.
You should. Just saying.
That was like all those people that told me their sponsors made them memorize the third step prayer. Never memorized it. Not a thing that happened in my life.
Oh, that's great. Oh man, we got a great topic tonight for you guys. Let's just get right into the topic, and I'm gonna put it right up on there real quick. And this has come up a lot: quieting the committee. And we were just joking right before we came on here because we got to get primed and ready for this, so we have to joke a lot and we do some retarded stuff sometimes. But when we're talking about it, it's like the committee. What is the committee? It's the internal dialogue that goes round and round. I was reading something the other day and it says, thanking the committee, thanking that voice inside for sharing. It's like, hey, thanks for sharing. Got to move it on. And if we were really good at that, would actually hold some weight. And there's at times, man, I could really like just thanks for sharing and not believe that little voice, that internal dialogue. But that's on good days, you know, but on the bad days, man, I believe that stuff. The thing that's telling me that I'm not good enough or like they're talking about me. Huh? How about that one? I'm so important that everybody's talking about me. Or when I leave the room, they said something about me. I know they did because I'm that damn important, which I'm not. It's just the internal dialogue. Thanks, Caesar. I knew you had my back. It's that internal dialogue, man. It's telling us either we're not good enough or we'll never be anything. We're a failure. All this bullshit that we're going off of, and it's old beliefs, right? It's all what we're programmed from, how we were raised, what we've been telling ourselves for a long time. And even it's just that voice inside of us, man. We got to figure out what that voice is. Where's it coming from? Who's answering me right now? Sometimes, you know, Nate, you turned me on to that book and I started reading it today. And I started with that and I was like, so funny that this is the topic. We talked about the topic before we actually jumped onto this. I jumped into that book, and it's exactly what this topic was on, is quieting the committee, shutting them up, man, and actually reaching out to somebody else that'll help me get better advice. It's under new management. I had to get outside help in order to be able to make a rational decision at times, especially when I'm first in recovery. My thinking is skewed, man. And it took me a long time to actually get that shit in check. And like I said, on some days, it's still screwed up. That committee comes back into play and it comes back strong. Most of the time, it's when I'm about to do something very important. When you're about to do something that like that could change your life, or these big decisions you have to make, or trying to overcome that fear of the unknown, and you're trying to like take that leap of faith, and then this committee comes back in. No, we're going to stay in the safe zone back here. We're not going to go that way. Or another time, the other day, man, I had the committee come back in strong. And I've been getting a lot of, we have all these yeses around this, right? We get all these yeses happening. We have all this proof that life is happening for us and not against us, right? We have all this proof. And then that one no throws all those yeses away. It makes them like, it discredits everything you've done, just all of it. And it's like, why am I so focused on that one no? What happened to all these yeses I just got and all this winning that I'm doing? Why is that one no? Huh? That was the committee. No, I was kidding. Why is that one no judge my life? Or why does that one no dictate how I'm going to operate from here on out and like think I'm a failure after that, or think that all this work that I've done up to this point is for nothing? I'm just like, why is that? And we have to replace that. We have to replace it with truth, man. That lie, we have to replace it with truth. And some days it's easier said than done, but I always have to reach out to my peoples and I have to put it on them. Yo, this is what's going on. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And they put me back down into that frame of mind, man, where everything is okay. And it just takes that bringing it to light, talking to somebody about it, and then putting me back into center is always how this program works, how recovery works, reaching out, talking about it, and getting some advice. That's how my higher power works, is I go through people and the people give me the answers. And that's how I operate my life. All right, Nate, man, what's up?
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Happy Sunday. Yeah, this is such a relevant topic. And I believe if you don't have to be in recovery to relate to this at all. Everybody has those voices, whatever you want to call it, a committee, voices, intuition, nudges, whatever, racing thoughts. We all have this dialogue that's created over time, right? What is this dialogue? Where does it come from? And I believe that it's a product of experience. We have experiences in life when they start as far as we can remember, and we perceive reality through these experiences and these things that we go through, good and bad. When I get into recovery, my experiences aren't that pleasant, right? So the committee or the things that I hear in my head all the time tend to lean towards the negative a little bit, right? Yeah, there's negative self-talk, right? And what does that negative self-talk look like to me? I have very limiting, self-worth, right? It's a lot of fear. It's a lot of paranoia. It's a lot of what it comes down to. And the best way that I can explain this is I was having a conversation with my good friend Thomas, and he was telling me about a documentary he watched, right? It was about German MPs in the World War II era, right? And they were interviewing this guy, and they had all this documentation and ledgers about all these people that these police had ultimately murdered, right? And they're interviewing this guy, and they're like, why did you do this? Like, what happened? And he's like, I didn't want to do it. But he's like, so why did you? He's like, well, I was afraid what others would think of me, right? And that resonated with me. We talked about this months ago. So every time I start thinking about, this committee or the boy, it all really comes down to, well, the root of it is fear, to be honest with you. It's fear-based, but how it manifests, what it looks like, is how I'm going to be perceived, what others will think of me. And this is how I've based every decision I've made since I was a toddler, right? Because I'm afraid to do something that's going to make me look silly, foolish, uncool. And in this state, I am perpetually driven by fear and insecurities and worry. And it's like, how can I break free from the cycle? How do I get rid of this stuff? I know for me is that because I can, and this is just as relevant as a topic right now as it is when I was first getting sober. But I know when I early on, the committee in my head, which kept, and I could take it back before I got sober, it was telling me that I was unworthy. I was not worth recovery. And even sicker, how would I look if I go to recovery? What, I have these people that are completely destructive in my life. There's really, I have no friends at this point. I just have people that use me and I use them, stuff like that. But I'm so sick. I'm wondering how will I look if I go to recovery and I get spiritual? I will be uncool, right? So I have this idea that recovery is so lame that I'd rather stay out here and kill myself. And I had this other idea, which is really the driving force, is that I am unworthy of this gift. And let me not say gift, because I didn't even understand it was a gift. I just thought I was unworthy of any other way than what I knew and what I had been settling for so many years. I thought that was my lot. But it's funny what a lot of pain and circumstance and desperation will put your back against the wall just for a brief window to where you can have that moment of clarity and surrender, which I did. And so even in my first couple years, right, I still struggled with the idea that this is where I belonged, right? I got a fellowship, I got connected to a higher power, I did some steps, but I was on the Zoom meeting over the week, and this guy said the first couple years were basically just following instructions. I don't have any idea what a spiritual experience is, or what I don't understand what going through this process for me, which is a 12 step. I don't understand, like, really the depth and weight that this process carries, nor the impact that it could potentially have in my life. I just don't want to feel how I felt for 20 something years. I am desperate for something different. So I got this, like, yin and yang, this seesaw of one moment, I don't want to feel like this, but this other moment saying that I don't deserve it, right? And somewhere along the line through this process, I connect to this higher power. And for me, the only way I can quiet this voice is to be connected spiritually. And I don't mean just when I say connected spiritually, I just don't mean to a higher power or a God or my source, whatever you guys want to call it, but being connected to a fellowship, right? And being connected and having a purpose and having this new way of life. And the real spiritual leap for me in that, which I've, you know, only began to discover, I'm just scratching the surface of, is to understand, like, that connection, they're not different. They're all the same, right? Me being connected to a higher power, me being connected to my fellows, me having these friends right here, me being connected to my community again, that's all me being connected to this power, because it's all the same. It's one and the same, right? But this, in this connection, is the only real time when I'm outside of myself doing something for somebody else, when my intentions and my purpose is to be of service, right? It's in that space where I'm not alone in my thoughts. And that is where, like, a lot of my healing occurs, right? When I am outside of myself to do something for somebody else without expecting anything in return. So yeah, the journey for me has been really being able to identify when these voices or this committee is really at work, and the tools to keep it at bay. And Justin touched on it. If I don't talk about these crazy thoughts in my head, they will get louder. If I don't expose them and shine a light on them and write about it, or whatever you're into to help you process these things, if I am not actively working on addressing this issue or even having the courage, because it's embarrassing to tell some people. I was talking to Caesar earlier today. I had this experience on Friday. I've been really, like, heavy into the gym. I try to watch my diet, and I'll tell you this experience, and this is in retrospect, but my girlfriend had told me after I had related this experience to her, we were at the gym. She's watching, she's, like, looking at me, admiring me, saying, you look amazing, right? And she explained why I looked amazing and what she saw and how she sees me. And yet I see this little curve down by my waist because I've had a certain shirt on and it's a certain light. And I'm telling myself, I'm fat. It's just not even worth it. Why am I working out? I don't look like a handsome bodybuilder over there in that tank top. Like, what's the point? And it's crazy because she sees one thing and I see another. It's these lies I tell myself. I understand logically that they're lies, but when I'm immersed in those moments, it seems so real. But so how can I break free from that? The only cure, or the only way for me to really break free from that stuff, is to talk about it first and foremost, and then to keep building this relationship with my higher power. Because if I am really plugged in and I am doing the deal, I don't really have much room in my spirit to think negatively of myself, right? But it's in those little in-between times. where I can get real squirrely in my head, man. And I can start convincing myself that, you know, what am I doing? I'm not a good business owner. This guy's doing it better. Or this with our organization, like, I don't belong here. These people are way smarter than me, way more educated. And I can convince, I can talk myself out of some very beautiful opportunities. I can talk myself out of being available to help another individual because I think I'm less than, still to this day. So what do I do? I have to stay busy. First, there's the awareness that I am still sick and without a spiritual solution, I will remain that way. And then secondly, I have to keep doing the work. I have to keep showing up. I have to keep having the embarrassing, vulnerable conversations and be transparent about who I am, what goes on in my head. Because if I don't talk about these things, nobody's there to help me. If I'm not honest about what's going on in my life, then how can anybody really see me for who I am and potentially show up in a way that my higher power intends them to? So that's the power of being vulnerable, right? And telling on myself. And it's funny, when I talk about these things out loud, they lose their power. I'm not saying that they don't return, but when they do, I have a little bit, I'm better prepared for it. And then what do I do on a daily basis? I pray, I meditate, I do gratitude, I reach out to other alcoholics and addicts. And then at night, I do an honest self-appraisal through my inventory. And then in these things that I do, I am able to keep the chatter at a bare minimum and be able to differentiate what is harmful or what is trying to, because just to be fair, some of these voices are a benchmark as well. Like, I need to look at. I was just talking to Danielle about this, and she was saying some of these things that we experience aren't necessarily meant to be suppressed or resisted, or we shouldn't fight them. What we should do is embrace them. Welcome them. Hello, crazy man. Like, how can I help you? I know you're not real. Move along type shit, right? And that's what I'm trying to get to these days is, because just like I have horrible nightmares from all the time I've done in prison, and I've been praying for them to go away. I stopped doing that. I've been praying just for my higher power to show me what is the purpose of them. And I think the very thing, same thing applies to this chatter. May I find purpose in why? I think it's a reason. The reason for me is that it keeps me needing and close to God. Basically, I still need help. And in that space, I'm forever seeking, and I'm closer to this power. I'm closer to my truth, and I can get more equipped to be of maximum service to my fellows.
I get told a lot by a lot of people is that our group, this is by normies. Okay. Our group is one of the most self-aware people they've ever met in their lives. And you know what that means? That means we actually can get to the problem of why the committee is running our life. We can keep quieting it down, because there for a while it was screaming, right? It wasn't just talking. It wasn't like the committee was sharing, right? It was literally screaming at me. It was running my life. But as soon as I became aware of it and started actually, as they say, be a witness or a watcher of the mind of that committee, then you could actually deal with it and tell it to shut the fuck up sometimes. Or the crazy man, as Nate said, right? The little crazy man,
yeah,
running around causing a muck. Thanks, Nate. That was amazing. All right. You know what? John, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on tonight. Last minute.
Yeah, Justin. Last minute, Justin, over here. 5 minutes. Hey, run home. Get on the hook shot. Okay.
Hey, you wouldn't be over here if Casey Diaz didn't come with you. He's saying so.
You're welcome. Now, quieting the committee, man, that's whether you're new in recovery or you're old in recovery, anyone who's in recovery can relate to this topic. When Justin told me this was going to be the topic, I was thinking about like the committee I had prior to even stepping foot in my detox facility, right? Those conversations that I would have and answer those questions with the same voice. And what I learned is, you know, that was my disease just grinding on me and keeping me in that suffering or that mental prison, so to say, you know, too much fear to do anything different. And then coming into recovery, I was laughing because something was said earlier is like, you think everything's about you. And I can remember like walking into my first meeting, and there were some guys when I was in detox or whatever, and they asked the question, what are you going to do when you get out, blah, 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 all the stuff, 90 meetings, 9 days, da, 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 whatever. And they saved the seat right up front for me. And there was about 110 people in this meeting. And I'm walking in and all the noise going on, like I'm instantly thinking it's about me. And I'm having this whole conversation with myself as I'm sitting there in the chair. Didn't hear anything until the end of the meeting, right? So, I mean, for me, my committee is my self-centeredness, right? And my, you know, the world revolves around me. I'm the center of everything. You know, when I get in my most trouble, even today, is when I'm not like filling my spiritual cup and I'm lacking something. That's when I start to allow self-doubt to come in, because walking through a four-step, I was able to have the true introduction to self, right? There was the lies that I told myself for all those years. And then I sat down with someone who was wiser than me and said, no, this is the real you. John, I know you've known this person for 30 years. Here's the real you. And then it's accepting that and moving forward with that and leaning on that higher power, leaning into that higher power in those times. It still happens today for me. There's still those moments. I do wholesale distribution. I'm on the road. I'm by myself every single day. So to say that, you know, shedding light on every thought, probably guilty of not doing it perfectly, you know, probably guilty of putting myself through self-suffering. Like I do it to myself, you know, there's no mystery here. I was always told that a person in recovery by themselves is in bad company, right? They're in really bad company when they're by themselves. And I've had to learn how to be able to, because the one thing I will tell you is you're not always going to have someone available to you to call, right? And that's why it's super important to just, when you're in recovery, whatever form that is, that you start jumping into working on self. Because like in the beginning, yeah, I had my sponsor and I would bounce every thought process off him. And then it got to the point, it was like, you know, you are who you hang out with. And it's like, because he had given me the same advice so many times that like my question started to be like, well, what would he do in the situation? Right. Because they're like, so that's what I need to do. Right. And then, you know, because earlier on, like I use, you know, my people in my corner as my higher power, you know, everyone that I was in a meeting with, like I use them right initially until I could formulate my own sense of what that looked like for me. You know, even, I mean, listen, man, like we were at a meeting the other night and it was like that warped sense of thinking when I came into recovery. This was actually a topic of a meeting the other night. And a lot of my warped sense of thinking was to my own demise. It was the people that I hung out with. It was the atmosphere that I put myself in. It was almost like animalistic survival instincts, right? So when that is the case, and then I walk into a room of a group of people that I don't know, the first thought is to be defensive. The first thought is to be on guard. And all of that created even more chaos in my brain. But the beautiful thing is now is like when I walk into a meeting and I don't even care where it is, if I know anyone, I have a sense of peace. You know what I mean? Because I figured out, you know, how to quiet everything going on. And for me, it's I sponsor guys. I talk to my sponsor. I talk to my support group. I am heavily involved in service and giving back to community, you know, for sure. And with that, Britt brought humility and brought a sense of, you know, talked about a sense of purpose. Because it's funny you say a sense of purpose. And when I first came to recovery, I had to do a short-term goals list and a long-term goals list. And those be able to put a check mark next to the things that I completed gave me a sense of purpose, because I had no direction. And it's not that I came from a bad situation. By no stretch of the imagination did I come from a family that was broken or whatever. I actually came from a family that would have given me anything, and that still didn't matter. You know what I mean? I came from I laugh because, you know, my dad was a cop, my grandfather was a sheriff, and here comes I, the ugly duckling that fucks shit up. Like, they're the most honorable men I know, and then there's me. And it's not that they didn't try to teach me those lessons, right? They fucking most certainly did. I just couldn't hear it from them. It took me until I was almost 30 years old to walk into recovery to have a bunch of fucking strangers teach me how to be honorable, right? Not these family members that probably had that in spades. A bunch of fucking druggies. That's wild to me, right? It's really freaking wild to me. But not to ramble or whatever, and I want to give Caesar his time because he is Caesar the Great. And I told him that 7 years ago when we were at a barbershop together, and he said, don't say that, dude. Whoa, don't say that. But seriously, my way of quieting has been through being of service, going to meetings, staying involved, working on self, talking to my support group, talking to my sponsor, like all the things that are told time and time again, right? Like, I'm not trying to remanufacture a wheel over here. Like, at this point, I'll still take direction from people that have experience that I don't.
Thank you, John. Hey, man, I really appreciate you being here and, like, just your insight. It's like, John is one of those guys, okay? He's one of those guys that, like, the committee doesn't really bother him at times, but we don't know that. We don't know that. He just carries it real well. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys. He's consistent. He is consistent all the way across the board. And that's why everybody needs a John. Just to let y'all know. Find you a John. Yo, they hit on that, man. It's imperative. But like you said, John, it's like, what is this showing me I'm lacking? You know, what, not necessarily lacking in like character or anything like that, but where's the work I need to do to get down to the root cause of what this is happening right now, this uproar, right? Because it was just yesterday, man, I was going with flow. I was like a leaf on a river, bro. I was just smooth sailing. And next thing you know, I sunk like a rock at the bottom. I'm just tumbling off, hitting the freaking, all the rocks on the bottom, freaking getting all busted up. And I'm like, what happened? Where'd it go wrong? And it happens like that. It's what's going on inside of me that's making me feel this way and making the committee come out even more and more. And that's something we all could practice. It's just changing that one thing and tuning something, fine-tuning something. It could be something really minuscule. Maybe something triggered. Triggers happen. We don't know. We need to get down to that root cause. What's up, Caesar?
What's up?
That's great.
A good topic, man. It's a really good topic. I would have never stuck to drugs and alcohol the way I did if it wasn't for this dialogue that goes on in my head constantly. And the dialogue says, don't talk because you're not funny and you have nothing about you to say. The dialogue says, you're not athletic enough, don't play sports. You're not this, you're not that. And when I took a drink, because that was like my gateway, all that stuff shut up and I was like, ooh, okay. That works really well. Let's do that every day. And then I did for a long time. And then I added other things to really make sure those voices shut the hell up. And I numbed myself and did not emotionally grow from the time that maybe like 12, 13 years old into my 30s. I just shut down that whole process that was up there. And it's fear. It's self-centered fear. Always worrying about how I look to other people, always worrying about what's going to happen to me. Am I going to lose something that I have? I'm not going to get something that I want. And most of all, other people's opinions of me. Can't enjoy going to a concert because what if somebody sees me dancing and I dance poorly? Like that would be awful. Of the thousands of drunk people there, just me, I'm going to be judged harshly. But with drugs and alcohol in my system, I don't hear it. That stuff goes away. So you fast forward and I finally get into recovery and those voices are loud. They're still there. They're still saying I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of recovery. There's no way I can do it. And we start going through this process. I learned that my entire life, I'm driven by self-delusion, fear, selfishness, self-centeredness, and I have affected everybody around me, and I've played the victim. I've gone, oh man, these people are mean to me, when really I either robbed them or I lied to them or I did this or that. The common problem is me. I'm the problem. Before I got into recovery, anytime I went to a rehab or anything else, before I really worked on my internal stuff, the game plan was fix up the outside. Hit the weight pile while you're locked up, put some weight on, get some clothes, get a job. And I'm good. But I'm not good because that voice never shuts up and I have to shut it up. It's only for so long that I can handle it till I have to make it just be quiet. And then I pick up, then I relapse. I find this solution that this man is willing to walk me through. And it's got nothing to do with my clothes or a job or anything external. It's got everything to do with me looking inward and working on the crap that I've been dealing with since I was a child, literally, that's always been there. There's a comment down here. Yeah, does fear come from self-delusion? I think the self-delusions come from the fears that are in my head. And that was a revelation. Like we were talking about fears and I did like the classic macho, I ain't afraid of nothing, man. I did prison time and I did this and I'm not afraid of nothing. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm afraid of everything. My whole life is driven by fear. And everybody's eloquently put it out there that the only way to diminish that is for me to stop thinking about myself so much and think about what I can do for other people. When I'm brand new, I'm so busy digging into this problem and doing what my sponsor told me to do, being of service, setting up chairs, and just doing all that stuff. Brand new, don't even have a job. The voice was quiet. I was just doing what I'm told, boom, boom, working through this thing. Then you get a little bit further along and the blessings start coming into your life. And the voice comes back and goes, you don't deserve this. You'll probably be in jail next week. Oh, you're going to mess up that job. There's no chance you're going to hold on to that job. Oh, that guy said you're a nice guy. If he knew you, he'd know you're not a nice guy. And I start picking everything apart. And it doesn't matter how much beauty and blessings there are in my life. I'll take the one little thing and I'll magnify it by 1,000 and focus on that and make everything else look like a piece of shit because of this one minute thing. And that is how my brain works. We already talked about, I got to open my mouth and talk like Nathan and I and Justin, like we talk about how damn crazy our brains are sometimes. It's my brain's out to get me. And I've heard somebody say, well, what is that voice in your head? I don't know what that voice is, but it's my voice. It comes across as mine. So it sounds really profound because it's in my voice. It's like, hey, you suck, bro. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Like I listen to that shit. So today, Nathan gave the example at the gym. I'll give you an example. Same thing. I just did this big cut and I posted some pictures of the way that I looked after the weight loss. And everybody's like, hey, you can have a cheat day. I'm so hard on myself. I wouldn't do the cheat day until literally Roy showed up at my house with a piece of cheesecake and was like, here, have some cheesecake. And I was like, okay, I'll have some cheesecake. But I wouldn't even give myself a break because of fear. Oh man, one piece of cheesecake, oh, I'll be fat. That's not how that works. I'm logical enough to know that's not how that works, but my brain will tell me that. I can be working my ass off at work and 90 people can tell me what a great job I'm doing. And I one email out of the 1,000 that come across in a week, and I'll go, really drop the ball, man. You're probably not that good at this job. So I call my people. And Justin put it really well. My higher power works through people. I do not walk outside and find a burning bush that tells me everything's going to be okay. I talk to my people. And as soon as I open my mouth up, I'm putting that on the screen. Good Lord, that's great. Yes, one cheesecake is never enough. It was one piece of one cheesecake, and that is not enough. But as soon as I open my mouth, I realize how ridiculous I sound. And it's every time. It'll bounce around up here for hours or all day, if I choose, 3 days, stewing. As soon as I open my mouth up, I go, man, I sound like a whiny baby. That's not true. That's ridiculous. Let's move on. But I noticed that the more I help others, the more I'm of service, and the more I'm worried about everybody else and not so much myself, those things don't even come in my head. When I'm focused on trying to help somebody, trying to get somebody in detox, trying to console somebody, whatever, because That's what my God wants me to do. My God doesn't care how much money I make. He doesn't care if I have a big house. He doesn't care about any of those things. He cares about what I'm doing for his children. He cares about what I'm doing for the people around me. And when I do those things, I truly believe my higher powers in the background, just kind of sewing up all those little problems and going, man, you're doing good. Don't even worry about these things. They're not even going to pop in your head. And I don't care what you believe in. I say God because it's just, that's what people, they understand the word God. But whatever it is, I have to get it out of my head and I have to get outside of my own cheap ass and go help somebody. And when I do those things, it's just like the drugs without consequences. The voices stop and I'm okay. And I don't go to jail for it and I don't lose all my shit. It's amazing. So I have to be reminded sometimes. Usually when I'm all up in my head with all of that stuff, it's because I'm completely focused on myself, my ambitions, the stuff that I want. I, me. And when I'm going down that road, all I think about is the fearful, self-centered thoughts about myself. So I'm blessed that I have people around me that are just the most selfless, awesome people that are always working out in the field, always out in the trenches. And I have visible reminders on a daily basis when I call these guys or any of my guys. Hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, well, we're going to a committee meeting to get funding for a halfway house that's going to help these people. And I'm like, oh shit, I haven't helped anybody. I haven't even thought about helping anybody. I've been stuck in roofing land in my brain all day and worried about myself. And it brings me back down to earth and it grounds me. And if you're brand new and you're like, oh my God, like the hell's this guy talking about helping people and this and that? If you got 3 days, you are an example to the person that has no days. You can sit down and make somebody feel welcome. That is being of service. You don't have to be like some kind of recovery guru. When I was new, somebody told me that. They're like, man, you can be of service at our meeting. I was like, how the hell am I going to be served? Like, how? I ain't got nothing going on. I don't know what's going on. They're like, well, shit, man, you got a week that you put together. You certainly can show somebody how you did that because there's people that can't put together a week. And you know what? Doing esteemable acts gives you good self-esteem. When you start doing things for other people without expecting things in return, shocker, you start feeling better about yourself. And it's a lesson that I've got to learn over and over and over again, because by nature, I'm a selfish and self-centered person. And that stuff just doesn't go away. It's always lurking in there. And that voice is always waiting to tell me, told you so, told you you're a piece of shit, but I'm armed with my people and I'm armed with my higher power. If I choose to pick up the tools, if I choose to pick up the phone, if I choose to do those things, I can battle any of that stuff off. If I choose to sit in that shit, I'm vulnerable. And just like in early times, this shit's just as deadly. Messing around and holding things to myself and believing the lies that are in my head puts me in a situation that I don't want to be in. I ain't got no time to be miserable today. I didn't get into recovery to be miserable and to second guess everything that I do. I stick around this thing because I found joy. I found happiness. I found a solution. And that's what I want to hold on to, is the beauty of this thing. And that takes work. And it's not work just on me. It's work outside of me. I got to go out. I had to go inward to have something to give outwardly. And now my job is to give this thing back on a daily basis.
Thanks, Caesar. Hey, something you hit, it was hit on, is you talked about when we first get in recovery, we get so busy. Like, we have to keep being busy. And it's in the quiet times, the stillness, that's when you really, it really starts to take effect. Because like when we're putting so much stuff in our lives, we're trying to just stay busy and work. Are we actually working on the committee? Or are we just doing the exact same things the drugs did and just keep busy, keep and shut it up? Because when you're busy, the committee is quiet, to be honest with you, because you're not focused. You know what I mean? And that is the prime example. Like, I used to be so busy, man. And like, I didn't never worked on really that committee. I never really worked on it at all. I didn't know how to be still. I didn't know how to be still. Like, I had to be moving constantly, just like in my addiction. Thanks, Caesar. That was great. Appreciate you. And that cheesecake, yes, you can't have just one. I'm just saying, like, it's, that's why I try not to buy a bunch, because then I have to eat it all. And if nobody's going to eat it with me, I'm screwed. Like, I'm telling you right now, I am screwed. I'm eating it all.
If Kelly doesn't eat that other piece, she's screwed. Because I'm going to eat it. You can't leave that in there overnight, bro.
No.
You remember New Jack City? It's calling me, man.
I need to get them cheeseburgers.
Oh, look, there he is.
Cheesecake.
My man, thank you so much.
Yeah, go F yourself. Anyways,
he said he's got some for you, Jess. I'm gonna put it on the screen. Look, I got some for you, Jess.
I don't need your sympathy, Roy. You can keep it.
I don't need your sympathy, Cheesecake.
I don't need your damn sympathy. How do you block? No, I'm just kidding.
Terrible.
Just kidding, Roy. I'm just kidding. Calm down. Christina, I got so much out of watching The Hope Shot, and as a peer support in recovery field, I tell my clients about this podcast all the time and the amount of real and raw recovery that you all share. Grateful to have you all in my life and my recovery and to help so many people. Thank you all for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Thank you, Christina, for being a supporter since day one. I feel like it was day one. You're like OG in the house. Oh, Caesar. I was going to say, I lost the thought for a second, but you were like, I ain't got time for that. I was like, yeah, as the great Kevin Gates used to say, I gave my watches away, ain't got time for that. Whatever. It sounded funnier in my head. In the committee.
I was going to see if you caught that. I was like,
I did.
Say it in private before you say it in public.
My private, it's great. Everybody's laughing in here. Okay. Everybody. Nobody out here. It's okay. We got Larry. He says, just out of curiosity, how often the Hope Shot live streams? We do this every Sunday, 8 p.m. And you also can take us anywhere you go. We have a lot of podcasts, the audios on every platform. You can hear podcasts. We're on every single one. You can hear us all day long if you want to. We do this every Sunday, though, 8 p.m. And thank you, Michelle, for clarifying that for me. Appreciate you. Oh, and Helen, after the cheesecake fiasco. Let's see. We have, I seen somebody now. I got to go back up because she was like, are you getting my stuff? And let's see. Where is she? Hold on, I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. I seen it up here. Oh, is this it? Oh, there we go. Yes, we are seeing your posts. How do we get rid of it if you have no one to talk to? Do you want to answer that, Caesar?
What do you mean if you got no one to talk to? This world's got a lot of people in it. We had to build our tribe. You got to put yourself out there. It's uncomfortable. It's absolutely uncomfortable. I didn't want to talk to people and put myself out there. And I had some serious sweaty pits at times when I would go to a meeting and I didn't know anybody and I had to open my mouth. My sponsor was like, go get some phone numbers, shake some hands, talk to some people. I was like, I don't want to shake anybody's hand. I don't want to do any of that stuff. But you know what else? I don't want to die. I don't want to leave my kids without a father. So I did it. You've got to be able to reach out, talk to somebody. You've got to build that support network. I can't tell you how to do it without that because that's not my experience. My experience was I 100% need people around me that are walking in the same direction that I'm walking, that have been where I've been and are heading towards goals that I'm trying to head towards. And the goal is tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, not to pick up. And we're all following guys like John, and he's following guys like, no, I'm not blowing you up.
No, we're following John.
People that came before us show us how to do this thing. So I don't know how to do this without people because my examples are people. Hey, man, that guy's got it together. I want to be like that guy. And I don't mean monetarily. My sponsor, the reason I picked him is because he was everything that I wasn't. He was calm, cool, just chill. Didn't look like he was looking over his shoulder every 2 seconds. He was spiritual. He had a job. Didn't look like he'd been arrested recently. And he had a lightness about him that I could not relate to. Everything about me was heavy and doom and gloom. But that's, I had to make myself go outward and meet people. I had to go to meetings because that's where the people were that had recovery. And I don't know any other way to do it without connecting with people and connecting with a higher power.
Yeah. And don't let the committee hold you back, because that's what they want. They want to hold you back. They don't want you to get out there and talk about it. They don't want to talk. They don't want you out there talking about what's going on in the boardroom.
Huh? Yeah.
That's giving up the secret sauce.
I can't go in there. It's just too much. I can't go into that room. Can anyone on here relate to pulling up to the parking lot of a meeting and go and seeing all the people outside smoking and going, nope.
two peoply out there. I can't.
I was like, oh, no. They're going to want to like talk or something. And I would have to walk right past them to get in the door. And I'm not doing one of these when I walk by. So I'm just going to go.
Hey, how about when you're at a meeting and you're like, I'm going to share. I got some good stuff. And then you just wait and you wait. And you wait because the committee's up here is like, oh, just wait. No, you don't want to go now. You don't want to be first, but you don't want to be. No, you don't want to go off that person, but you need to. And then you just keep going. And at the end of the meeting is done. And you're just like, God damn it.
And you didn't.
And then you hold that in there.
Oh, and you didn't hear anything at the meeting except for how badly you wanted to share your one nugget. And you're like, damn, that was a whole meeting that I got nothing out of because I spent the whole time up here talking about, man, I got this great thing. Which isn't even my thing. Like, I heard it 3 meetings ago and I can't wait to repeat it because it sounds profound, but I talked myself out of it. Can I relate to that? Yes. 100%.
Hey, Justin, I just want to give a shout out. I see Kevin was on here. Kevin, our friend Caesar, Kevin Montgomery. Much love, bro. Prayers to you and your family. Also, Big Steve, man. What up, bro? Love you.
Yeah, I seen Big Steve. I'm looking for names.
Kevin Montgomery.
Looking for him. Oh, we got Reagan Rice in the house.
I've seen that.
That doesn't matter what you do, if you have an addiction problem or not, God only wants the best for you. I hate to say the word addict, but the addict world needs to understand really quickly that the majority of society is willing to give second chances and, quite frankly, even third chances. I really hope many of you can pull out of that mindset and realize that life is way too short and people respect and appreciate you if they see the effort. Thanks, Reagan, for that. I'm trying to find. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't see it. Did he comment?
Yeah, a few times, but.
Okay. Oh, there he is. I got it. How about when you're at a meeting and you want to leave, but too scared to get up out of your seat?
That's the same thing.
Yep.
I made it through the door, but now I can't sneak out when I don't want to. But I don't like, want to be there anymore.
You're like, all right, this is my turn. This is all right. Here it is. Go for broke. This glue is too tight.
Hey, I've been court ordered to meetings and not gotten my paper signed because I was too afraid to walk up to the front. And I really needed that paper signed.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to walk up in front of everybody.
Yeah. It's crazy how what's that? Paralyzing that committee can be.
What
over
think was how many? Were they going to jump me at the front desk? That's the funny part is, what did I think was actually going to happen to me?
but it's in life in general, right? How many missed opportunities have you had? Okay, let's say socially awkward people. Hey, how's it going? Going up and having a conversation with a person that you want to meet because you want to network and you want to put your, like, you want to introduce yourself, but then you go, oh, no, something. I don't know what it is, bro. It's like kryptonite happens. And I'm like, and I just fucking implode because like committee is so strong and anxiety happens because of one thought. Like, I have all this confidence where I'm like, I'm going to get in here and I'm going to do some things and stuff. And the next thing you know, one thought comes in and it just, and you just break
it's a
down.
Miracle
it's just
you
ridiculous.
And I, it's a miracle that we ever connected.
Oh my God. I know. I'm telling you, it happens more than not.
When I met you, I was standing outside of the, not a regular meeting, but outside of that meeting, the networking meeting. clinging to anybody that I was like, good Lord, is there somebody I could talk to here before I go into the room with all the people that I do not know? You were that person.
Yes, and that's how then we lived happily ever after, people.
Yep.
Happily ever after. And then you were Nate my security
blanket.
Oh man, this has been a good topic, man. I we should be talking about this more because there's more board members up here, and I feel like we didn't even touch the surface of this topic. And it's such a good topic. I think we all struggle with it. If you're a human, you're struggled with it. It's just simple as that. Maybe animals too. I don't know. They don't talk about it. They can't verbalize it. So there's that. But it's such a great topic. I hope you guys got something out of this tonight. And hey, maybe it's something you could practice on this week. Maybe it's something that you can do something more to shut that committee up. Maybe practicing that stillness, meditation, prayer, getting into reading and meditating on some words, man, like through your fellowship, through your whatever you subscribe to as far as your spirituality. What does that look like for you? And so I hope you guys have a great week. I love y'all, man. Thank y'all for being here, and we'll see you next Sunday at 8 p.m. Hold on, we gotta get it in gear. I got a laser beam too. There we go. Sorry, John.
Can't help you. Can't help you. And that's what it is.
Peace. I'm not the one who's always right.